Going to reconsider repentance. Reconsider repentance. My friend was describing his struggle with a particular sin to me. It was just him and me visiting, and how he had promised God he wouldn't do it again, only to find out that he was doing it yet another time. And as he was talking to me and telling me, he paused, and then he exhaled like this. Overwhelmed by the hopeless fatigue that he would never overcome, the sin-repent cycle in which he felt like he was stuck. Ever felt that way yourself? Maybe you feel that way today. What if this man's problem is really a problem of Christians? Many of us have. And I think the problem is a misunderstanding of what repentance really is. And what if more accurate understanding of repentance would free us over time from our sin cycles? Is that possible? Anybody here got a sin cycle? Have you ever said, I'll never do that again, sorry God? You know how it's funny, we promise that after we've sinned the 19th time. I promise not to do that. We never promise that before the next one. We'd promise it after the last one. Sin cycles. Is it possible, really, you guys, to get beyond a sin, repent, sin, repent, sin, repent cycle? Let's talk about the first problem. The first problem of repentance is we have the right word, repentance, but we have the wrong definition. By the way, your sermon outline's in your bulletin if you'll take that out and follow along. The right word is repentance. We see it in Scripture. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus begins his very ministry with these words. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The first word of his ministry is the word repent. Isn't that interesting? Very first word, repent. Okay, Jesus, great. What do you mean? What do you mean by repent? How does repentance understood from God's perspective impact the decisions you make in life? The decisions you make every day. Are you fighting a problem now you would call sin and have repented of that? And is repentance something we do once? Is it something we do over and over again? Is there strength in repentance? All these questions came to mind as I was writing this. As I think back through my Christian training in churches I've attended at Bible college, through numerous resources I've studied over the years, I've concluded that repentance is something that I do. It's something I do or have to do to overcome my sin cycle. After all, doesn't Paul say in Philippians 2 to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? He does say that. So my practice of repentance sounds something like this. I'm sorry, Lord, I did it again. I confess my sin, and I promise I won't do it again. And the word promise almost doesn't come off my lips. It's almost like that's too big of a thing. I'm already believing I can't. I'm hesitant to use the word promise. Because I know somewhere down the line, in a weak moment of the flesh, will come, I'll do it again. I'm not the only one who thinks of repentance this way. This view of repentance centers on you and me making a commitment or a promise to God. We believe if we just grit our teeth and just hunker down and just concentrate hard enough that we will be able to keep that promise. Forgetting we have an enemy who is really good at what he does. He's really good at what he does. remember as kids hanging from a bar, a playground bar. My brothers and I, we had what we called monkey bars in the backyard, in the backyard. And it had four ladders coming up, and then it had a square, bars, four bars in a square, and we could crawl down through that square and hang onto the bars. And us boys would hang onto the bars and see who could win by hanging on the longest. I'm going to win. Well, I was the lightest because I was the youngest at the time. Me and my two other older brothers. And eventually, we couldn't hang on anymore. You start out strong, but you just can't hold on. That's, I think, our view of repentance. If I can just hang on long enough to prove to God I'm serious. I think an inaccurate definition of sin is like hanging on to the monkey bars. So what's the solution? God's definition of repentance. What if repentance is really a God-given ability? A gift. When we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, 1 Peter, we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of administration or the gift of mercy and so on and so on. Really, that definition of the word gift in the Greek is saying it's not something that God puts on you, now it's all yours to do. It is a God-given ability to do this. God gives you His ability. You see, with every command of God to do something comes His strength and power to do it. Do you believe that? A gift empowered by the Holy Spirit and a solid understanding that true repentance is only found in a confident relationship with God. Repentance, a correct idea of repentance is found only in a confident relationship with God. Otherwise, what do we have? What we have is a person who in their heart, actually in their gut, the deepest place, that what Paul calls the inner man, that deepest place, there's a nagging lie that says, I can never get past this sin. And even though I say, God, I believe it, but somewhere along the line, I'm going to disappoint you, and now I've moved into a relationship with God that is based on fear, not love. I'm going to disappoint my God. Oh, man, I feel myself weakening in this sin. Have you ever premeditated your sin? Everybody shake your head, yes. Have you premeditated your sin? You know, in addiction, which we all have too, you premeditate your relapse most times. Most times we're not blindsided by something that causes us to relapse. We're thinking about it. I've been noticing something about myself. When I go to town, Walla Walla, Pendleton, the first thing that's on my mind, I've been asking God to give me some clarity about this. The first thing that's on my mind is, where am I going to eat? Food is on my mind. Ooh, maybe there's a new place I haven't tried yet. I know my favorite places to go. I really want to enjoy this. You know how Satan can take something of God and turn it into a selfishness? Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. So think about Delbert driving to town. Puts reverse, backs out, gets out onto the street. He's thinking about the restaurant. can already taste the food, anticipating how good it's going to be. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight, his premeditated thinking about, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night on the goodness of the Word of God. How good it is. You see, God has given me a picture of what I think I should be thinking about in terms of him and his Word, like I do about the next restaurant meal. I delight in thinking about it. Do you delight in thinking about his Word? Or do you go, oh, I got to read the Bible today. Make sure I got it checked off. I did my duty. How do you think about the Word of God? How do you anticipate what it's going to be like to experience him through his Word? Just like Satan, to take something good, food, and pull our attention away from God with it. I think what I'm trying to do with you right now is let's refocus that on to where it belongs. Let's delight. Let's anticipate how good the Word of God will be today. Did you come to worship today to say, I wonder how good it's going to be? I wonder how God is going to feed me today. Whatever it is, I know this, it will be good. See, expectation is, it better be good. Expectancy is, whatever it is, I don't know yet, but it will be good. Why? Because he is good. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, that was for free. A gift empowered by the Holy Spirit with a solid understanding, scriptural understanding of true repentance is found in this confident relationship with God. What if repentance is something you do with God, not for God? Here is the crux of the message. What if repentance is something you do with God, not for him? I think that's where we messed up. Lord, I'm going to be a better Delbert. I'm going to be a better Christian. I'm not going to do that anymore because I'm going to do that for you because you're worthy of it. Now, that's not totally wrong thinking, but here's where the mistake is made. I'm doing that for you over here. You're over there. I'm not doing it with him. I'm doing it for him. Like a servant who says, tell me what you're doing. Okay, you want me to do that? Great, I'll go do it. And I just left him behind. No. Repentance is doing something with God. He is with you. He is for you. Think Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now, this moment, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Everybody go, whew. No condemnation. Hallelujah. For those who are in Christ Jesus. If you have any fear that God is angry with you, Christian, you have a wrong view of who your Father is. Think Romans 8:31. God is for you, not against you. If God is for us, who can be against us? Scripture says. Yeah. So why is it important to know that repentance is a gift from God instead of a promise to God? How does that reshape our thinking? Well, as a promise to God, if we're making this promise, I'll never do that again, overcoming sin depends on a white-knuckle determination on your part to resist sin forever. How's that working? Remember the monkey bars. At the core of this promise is pride. Pride says, I'll do it myself. You get a little kid. Remember when your kids started getting old enough, start doing things by themselves? No, I'll do it. I'll do it. And it's like that in repentance. You say, God says, Delbert, here, let me help you. No, I'll do it. I'll do the sin myself. I'll take care of it. I've got it. All the while, you as a parent, knowing your child's going to have trouble because not used to doing that thing. Child's not used to doing it. The focus of the promise that I promise God I'll never do that again leaves God behind while we attempt to conquer sin on our own, by our own power and our own resolve. Isn't it interesting that trying to conquer an old sin problem in this way actually creates a new sin problem? I left God behind. Trusting in our own strength. How's it going? There's some days when I feel like I'm Superman. I got this, God. I really do. This is good. And there's days when it's like, you know, I've got the strength of Jell-O. We're weak. We can't do it by ourselves. That's why Jesus came. That's why he died on the cross. God always wants you to trust him. God always wants you to trust him, to rely on him. But he doesn't want you to do anything in his name if he isn't the center and source of it. See, this was the problem of the Jews in the Old Testament was, we got it, God. We're the Jews. We know how to do it. You've given us all the instructions, so we'll know how to do the sacrifice. And God says, I don't want your sacrifices. Because your sacrifices are taking you away from me. Because you think the sacrifice is the source of your forgiveness. No, I am. You forgot me. In 2 Timothy 2:25, Paul describes repentance as a gift from God. I wasn't going to read that one, but I think we need to. 2 Timothy 2:25. Here we go. 2 Timothy 2:25. I'm going to start in verse 22. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness. Pursue faith, pursue love and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Verse 25, those who oppose him must gently... those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, gift to them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. Paul is telling Timothy here that repentance is something God gives. Trying to do all the work of repenting under your own power does not produce repentance. Repentance is a blessing that comes from God first and must be done in partnership with God, with him. Two elements prepare our hearts to receive the power of God to repent. The first is the DIY. DIY means do it yourself. The do it yourself part of repentance. When you get to a place where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired of your way not making it, of not cutting it, of not helping, when your DIY is collapsing all around you, you're starting to be ready to receive repentance from God, the gift of repentance. Because until we are ready to do that, we're going to try again and again and again. Repentance is a blessing that comes from God, must be done in partnership with him. So the first element is realize that the DIY repentance only produces frustration and exhaustion, not godliness. The second element is to humble yourself. We've talked about humility over the years. Humble yourself before God. But what does humility look like? You're humbling yourself when you believe and trust God that He is with you, that God is with you, Romans 8:1. He's not condemning you, He's with you. That God is for you, Romans 8:31. God is not against you, He's for you. You see, when we do repentance as I think God's mad, I got to get this corrected so that He won't be mad anymore. My repentance, my entire focus of obedience is to protect myself from God. To protect myself from God. Did you hear that? Obedience. I'm using obedience to protect myself from God because He's angry and my obedience will make Him happy again. Boy, Satan, screw up our thinking. God works with you, not against you, to overcome your sin. And God must take the lead in how you conquer your sin. Let God lead. Let Him tell you how to overcome sin. Because you and I, we all have our plans. Here's how I'm going to do it. And you know what's most on the first bullet point on our plan is? Don't let anyone else know. Don't let anyone else know you've got a problem. Don't let anyone else know you struggle with this. And there we go, right back into I can do this myself. Brothers and sisters, repentance requires relationship vertically with God. Understand, He is giving you His ability to do this. But there's a second part to letting God lead, and that is to add the horizontal element of repentance work. The horizontal element is trusting someone else, letting them into your circle of the work you're doing, letting them know, I have a problem. My dad was an alcoholic all his life. And because of numerous car accidents, he was required to go to a 30-day recovery of alcohol. Part of his requirement was for me and my mom and my other brothers who couldn't go to this meeting, but we went to this meeting with Dad. All the people who were in treatment at the time were sitting in a big circle. Dad was there. And they said, Dale, introduce yourself. He says, hi, I'm Dale Durfee. I'm an alcoholic. And I about fell off my chair. I'd never heard my dad say that. If anything, he tried to hide it, even from us who, in his family, who were so obviously aware. Hi, I'm Dale Durfee. I'm an alcoholic. Still brings tears to my eyes. I could not believe the confession coming out of my dad. And he was letting me, his son, into a part of himself he had never let me be there before. You see, when you trust someone else, they begin to be a partner with you in that. My years and years and years of anger at my dad, at that 1 3-second confession he gave, hi, I'm Dale Durfee, I'm an alcoholic, turned a lot of my anger to compassion for this man. I don't know how that happened. But when I knew he let me in, I wanted to be for him, not against him anymore. And that's what confession does, brothers and sisters. That's how important it is for you and I to have a horizontal relationship with a safe person, safe enough to say, I trust you with this information. Will you hold it sacred? Will you not take it anywhere else? I'm afraid. And will you respect it with the highest respect and honor you have inside of you? So that I can heal from what I'm telling you. And vice versa. This relationship is important. God talks about it in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 says this, verses 1 and 2. Brothers, if someone is caught in sin, see, Paul is already setting the scene for us. Uh-oh, somebody's caught in sin. Somebody's got a problem. If someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual, in other words, you who have some sense of where's the right path for this guy? You who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, for you may also be tempted. Now here's verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Very short verse, but boy, is it packed full. Carry one another's burdens, and in so doing, fulfill the law of Christ. We just prayed for Beadle and Michelle. This is not a problem they have that they can carry by themselves. That's in Galatians 6, verse 5. You should carry your own load. These are things that, you know, responsibilities you have that you can take care of. But when you have one that's too big for you, burden, boulder, carry it with someone. Carry it with someone. I am so proud of Athena Christian Church because you guys do that well. You are ready to carry burdens with folks. Carrying burdens is a two-way street. It's a two-way street. Carry burdens with one another. The phrase one another describes a trusting, safe person in your life to hear your story, to encourage you to submit to God so that we don't go back into I can do it myself. Receiving the God-given power to repent begins with humility that says, I can't, God, you can. Will you help me? Will you show me how? I love your trust. I love your forgiveness for me. Humility also means trusting God's leading when he asks you and me to find a safe person to share with who will challenge and encourage you to live out of true repentance. It's a gift of God. I think we need the challenge today to reframe repentance, to reconsider it. It's not a promise you make to God. It's a gift from him to you that you do that together. And the fear is gone. There's more I could say, but we need to be done. Respond to God today. Are you sick and tired of recycled sin? Reconsider repentance. We're going to sing a song. It's out of Psalm 51, this song is. It's about King David, who got his... He got his self in trouble by sinning against God, against a fellow soldier and his wife. And God sent someone called Nathan to him to say, you the man. You the man that blew it. And the song we're going to sing is David's response to humbling himself. And saying, God, you're right. I am that man who sinned. I'm humbling myself. Here's my response. So we're going to sing that response. But it's not David's response. Now it's yours. It's your response to God. Humble yourself. Give to him whatever issue you're afraid to give him. And then trust one other human being with it. If it's me, if it's someone else, I don't care. Let's get on the journey of healing from fear, from problems. And ride this lovely wave of repentance God has given us. Let's stand together. Let's sing.